We present Crawford Logan as Paul Temple and Gerda Stevenson as Steve in Paul Temple and the Madison Mystery, a serial by Francis Durbridge. Episode 4, Hubert Green Entertains.
I don't think you've met my wife, have you, Temple? Darling, this is Mr. and Mrs. Temple.
Hello, Mrs. Temple. Delighted to meet you. It's awfully nice of you both to join us for the weekend.
It's awfully nice of you to ask us.
We've been looking forward to it.
Do sit down, Mrs. Temple.
What would you like to drink?
May I have a gin and French?
Yes, of course, Mr. Temple.
Scotch, please.
A man after my own heart.
Isn't it a heavenly view, darling?
Do you like it?
Oh, I think it's wonderful, Mrs. Green.
Oh, please, not Mrs. Green.
As for some obscure reason, my wife dislikes being called Mrs. Green. I've never discovered why.
Darling, don't be silly.
But it's true, my dear.
Nonsense. None of my friends call me Mrs. Green. You know that. It's always Eileen.
Well, would you mind mixing the drinks, Eileen? I'm sure our guests are thirsty.
Did you have a pleasant journey, Mrs. Temple?
Well,
if you overlook the fact that we had a puncture outside Kingston, we had a very pleasant journey.
Did you say Scotch, Mr. Temple?
You did, and so did I, Mrs. Eileen.
George, I think you've had quite enough for one morning.
Well, it's a point of view, Stella. Okay.
Here we are, Mrs. Temple.
Thank you.
Temple?
Oh, thank you.
I suppose all this is quite new to you, Mr. Kelly.
What do you mean? The Scotch?
No, I mean the countryside.
Oh, yeah. It kind of takes a bit of getting used to. I like it, though. I like all this green stuff.
Is this the first time you've been over here?
Yeah. I nearly came over with the Cody boys in 36, but I changed my mind at the last moment. Wish I hadn't now. It might have been fun.
The Cody boys?
Who are the Cody boys?
It was a circus outfit. Boy, did we travel. We toured every state in the Union.
What were you doing with a circus outfit?
Don't tell me you were the bareback rider, Mr. Kelly.
Well, I wasn't the bearded lady.
What did you do?
Oh, I was a sort of general factotum, handyman. I started the outfit with a knife-throwing act. Boy, was it corny.
A knife-throwing act?
You mean you used to throw knives?
That's right. You know the sort of thing. A gal stands up against a door and some phony-looking character throws a lot of knives at her. It's a good act. The knives just miss. It's a bad act. Well, you're pretty soon out of business.
What happened to your act, Mr. Kelly?
We folded. I was no good. I couldn't get near the gal. I was too darn scared. One night, I missed the gal, the door, and every darn thing. I just wasn't cut out for show business.
What were you cut out for, George?
Why, didn't you know? I'm a financial wizard.
Here's Miss Portland and her fiancé.
Hello, Moira. Where have you two been?
We've been for a walk. Any objections, Hubert?
No, of course not, but I wanted you to meet Mr. and Mrs. Temple.
We've met. We met at the Manila.
I don't think you've met my wife, Miss Portland.
Hello there. Oh, no. How do you do? Hello there. How do you do?
Mrs. Temple, this is Chris Boyer.
Oh, we're old friends, aren't we, Mrs. Temple?
Well, it's nice of you to say so. After the way I danced the other night, I'm surprised we're even on speaking terms.
Chris is used to that sort of thing. I'm the world's worst dancer, aren't I, sweetie?
Positively the world's worst.
Where you beast, Chris.
Come along, Mrs. Temple. Let me show you to your room.
Thank you.
Would you like a drink, Moira?
Yes, I should like a gin and a bonnet.
And what about you, Boyer?
Have you a Cinzano?
Not out here, but I can get it for you.
No, it's all right. I'll have a gin and French.
George?
Have I your permission to have another scotch, Stella?
No.
Oh, go on. Let the poor fellow have a drink. Won't do him any harm. You won't start throwing knives at us, will you, George?
Not if you're nice to me, I won't.
I think you'll be comfortable, Mrs. Temple. I'm sure you shall. If there's anything you'd like, just let me know.
Thank you. It's a lovely room, isn't it, darling?
Delightful. I was just admiring the view. You seem to be able to see for miles.
Yes. When I was a little girl, we used to climb on the roof and stay there for hours on end. We had picnics up there in the summer. On a clear day, you could see right across the country.
How long have you been here, Mrs. Green?
Well, off and on. I suppose I've been here all my life. You see, the house belonged to my father, Lord Dalesden. He died in 1945. After that, I shut the house up for a short time and went abroad. I was in Naples when I met Hubert.
When was that?
Just over 2 years ago.
Mrs. Green, I'm sorry, I forgot you don't like to be called that.
What were you going to say?
I was going to ask you a question, a rather personal one, I'm afraid.
It's all right, Mr. Temple, please go on.
Was Archie Brooks a friend of yours?
Archie Brooks?
Yes.
I'm afraid I've never heard of anyone called Archie Brooks.
His friends called him Chunky. He had a flat in Whitedown Gardens.
What do you mean he had a flat in White Down Gardens?
Brooks is dead. He was murdered.
No. No, I don't believe it. You're not serious. You're lying because you want to find out exactly...
I'm telling you the truth, Mrs. Green, because I want to find out how well you knew Archie Brooks.
When was he murdered?
Tuesday night. About 2 hours before you telephoned.
But I spoke to him. I told him... That wasn't Chunky. That wasn't Chunky on the phone. I suspected it. I thought there was something different. Who was it? Who impersonated him?
An Inspector James.
I told him about Foxdale Farm, didn't I? I told him that... How did you know I was a friend of Chunky's? Were you at the flat when I telephoned?
Yes, I heard the whole conversation. I suggested the impersonation.
You might have spared me that. You might have had the decency to... Who murdered Chunky?
The same person that murdered Inspector James.
Was James murdered?
Yes.
When?
The night we went down to Eppingdale.
How? How was he murdered?
They were both stabbed.
Oh, this is terrible. Oh, this is even worse than I thought.
Eileen, listen. Who was the pilot? The man that landed at Foxdale Farm?
I don't know.
Then why did you tell Brooks to go down there?
I had to tell him because...
Because what?
I'm not going to say any more. Please don't ask me.
Don't you see, I've got to ask you these questions. I've got to know what's behind all this. Now tell me the truth. Why did you tell Chunky Brooks about Eppingdale?
I had to tell him. I made a promise that once I knew when... When... Please leave me alone, Mr. Temple. I can't talk now. I'm too upset. I was awfully fond of Chunky.
Paul, don't go on with this.
Was Brooks a close friend?
Yes. We'd known each other ever since we were children. He was always very kind to me.
Eileen, I want you to have a look at this.
What is it?
It's a penny. My wife found it down at Eppingdale. It's attached to a key ring. Have you ever seen anything like this before?
What do you mean?
Have you ever seen a penny like this on a keyring or a watch chain or perhaps even on a bracelet?
No. No, I don't think so.
Are you sure?
Yes, I'm quite sure.
Are you feeling better now?
Yes.
So don't you realise that I'm only trying to help you? Sooner or later, whether you like it or not, you're going to tell me all you know about this business. Why don't you tell me now?
Mr. Temple, listen... I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll come to your room tonight. Late tonight when the others are in bed.
But won't your husband miss you?
No. I have my own room. My room's just along the corridor. I'll come tonight, Mr. Temple.
Can I depend on that?
Yes, I promise. Honestly.
All right.
I think there's someone coming, Paul.
Oh, dear, I look dreadful. What is it, Hubert?
Lunch is ready, my dear.
Did you pack that white handkerchief, darling? The silk one?
Yes, here it is. Oh,
thanks. I enjoyed that walk through the woods this afternoon.
Yes, so did I. Does this dress look all right?
Yes, of course it looks all right. It ought to look all right, considering what you paid for it.
Oh, no, don't you start on that. Zip the back up for me.
What did Boyer have to say? You seem to be putting your heads together rather a lot.
Oh, nothing. He told me he thought I'd make a very good dancer.
By Timothy, the old technique. I wouldn't trust that tailor's dummy as far as I could throw him.
Did you notice Moira Portland this morning when he said she was the world's worst dancer? She looked furious.
Moira Portland's always looking furious. I'm inclined to agree with Green about that young woman.
Pass me that hairbrush, darling.
Oh. Yeah.
Paul, I don't know whether you've realised it or not, but George Kelly's avoiding us. He didn't even have tea with us this afternoon.
He's probably frightened that one of us might mention that telephone call.
Yes. Why do you think he made it, darling? He must have known that sooner or later we'd ask him about it.
He obviously made it because...
Come in.
Excuse me.
Oh, come in, Green.
There's a telephone call for you, Temple.
For me?
Yes, it's a personal call from London.
Oh. Who is it, you know?
I'm afraid I didn't ask.
Oh.
You can take it in my room if you like.
Oh, thanks. I shall be a moment, darling.
Here we are. The phone's by the bed.
Thanks.
Can you find your way back all right?
Yes, rather.
When you and Mrs. Temple are ready, we're having cocktails in the library.
Fine. Hello?
Is that Paul Temple?
Yes.
Speaking personally?
Yes.
Hold the line, please. You're through.
Hello? Hello?
Mr. Temple's on the line now. Go ahead, please.
Hello. Is that you, Temple?
Oh, hello, Sir Graham.
How are you?
I'm fine.
Sorry if I've interrupted your dinner.
Oh, you haven't. We were just going down.
You did say to give you a ring, remember?
Yes, of course.
I think we're making headway, Temple, at last.
Oh, good. I thought you sounded optimistic.
I don't want to be too optimistic, of course.
What's happened?
Are you alone?
Yes.
Is it all right to talk, I mean?
Yes, I think so.
Well, Temple, listen. We've discovered the identity of the pilot. We know why he came here, and we know who was supposed to have met him at Eppingdale.
Cool. Go on.
We also know the name, the real name, of Dr. Eltsek.
How did you discover that?
We came across his photograph in a snapshot album, the one you found at Archie Brooks.
Oh, I see.
His real name is Viner. He was mixed up in the Baal count, if you'd rack it, in 1937.
Are you sure of that?
Yes, I'm quite sure.
Well, what are you going to do about it?
There's no point in picking him up. In any case, we've nothing on him at the moment. You can't arrest a man for paying 30 guineas a week for a furnished flat.
Are you watching him?
Yes. There's a man on the block night and day. You'll probably spot him when you get back on Monday morning.
Well, you seem to have been pretty busy since I left town, Sir Graham.
Yes. Get in touch with me as soon as you get back.
Yes, I'll do that.
How are things at your end?
Well, so far, we're having a very quiet weekend.
Good. I hope it stays that way. Probably see you on Monday.
Yes, all right, Sir Graham. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Oh, I was just going down, darling. Are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
Who was that on the phone?
Sir Graham.
Oh. Did he want anything special?
No, he just wanted to chat.
What's the joke?
I've got a hunch we shall find somebody rather on edge this evening, Steve. It'll be interesting to see who it is.
Why do you say that?
Before I left town, I made arrangements for Sir Graham to phone and pretend that the Yard had discovered the identity of the pilot, the man that crashed at Eppingdale. I also told him to tell me that they'd discovered who the contact was.
But what was the point of that? Why should he say those things if they weren't true?
Well, I was pretty certain that any telephone conversation I had would be listened to, and I wanted the eavesdropper to believe that the Yard had discovered the pilot's identity.
Do you think someone did listen to your conversation?
Yes, I'm sure of it. I heard a receiver being lifted.
Was it green?
It might have been green.
Did Sir Graham say anything else?
Yes, he did. He said that they'd found out about Dr. Eltsek.
You mean the man who has the flat above ours?
Yes. Apparently his name's Viner.
Did Sir Graham tell you that on the phone?
Yes, and that's what I don't understand. He knew as well as I did that the conversation was being listened to.
He probably wants to use Eltsek or Viner or whatever his name is as a bait. If the people behind this affair think that Eltsek's been found out, they'll probably try to get rid of him.
Yes.
And that's when Sir Graham will step in.
There might be something in that, Steve. I shouldn't be surprised. Come along, darling, let's go down.
Paul, who do you think is behind all this? Hubert Green? Stella Portland? George Kelly?
You've forgotten your boyfriend, Chris Boyer.
Oh, he's just a gigolo, darling. He couldn't have anything to do with this.
I'm not so sure.
Why do you say that?
He dances far too well for my liking.
Ah, so here you are, Mrs. Temple.
Oh, dear, are we the last?
No, Miss Portland isn't down yet.
I don't know what's keeping Moira. She was ready ages ago.
What would you like, Mrs. Temple?
May I have a gin and French?
Certainly. Temple, you'd like a scotch?
No, I'd like a glass of sherry.
Would you like a dry sherry?
Yes, please.
What a lovely dress, Mrs. Temple.
How funny you should say that. I was just admiring it.
Did you get it in New York? It's really charming.
No, as a matter of fact, I bought it in London only a few weeks.
Come in, Moira. We've been waiting for you.
Where on earth have you been, Moira? You were ready ages ago.
I've been for a walk. Is there any particular reason I shouldn't go for a walk before dinner?
No, I suppose not.
Say, you need a drink.
Excellent advice, Mr. Kelly, if a slight understatement. I need several drinks.
What would you like?
It's all right, I'll mix it.
I'm mixing the drinks, Moira. What would you like?
I'll have a gin and French.
Have you been drinking already?
What do you mean, already? I've had 3 very small pink gins, if that's what you mean. Where on earth did you have those?
I drove down into the village.
I thought you said you'd been for a walk.
I drove down into the village. I got out of my car and I walked into a very large pub and ordered 3 very small pink gins. Is there anything else you'd like to know?
Yes, there is.
What?
Where's my sherry?
Oh, I'm sorry, Temple. Here we are.
Thank you.
Mrs. Temple. Oh, you asked for a gin and French, didn't you? I'm so sorry.
It's all right. I'll have a sherry.
No, no, certainly not. I'll mix you another.
Oh, then we won't waste the sherry, Hubert.
Boy, that's drinking.
Moira, don't be stupid. That's not the way to drink sherry.
It's the way I drink it. Now, where's my gin and French, Hubert?
Look here, Moira. I think you've had far too much already.
Darling, I'm not interested in what you think. In fact, sweetie, I'm not at all sure that you can think. You're a tall, upright, well-creased slice of sartorial perfection, but when it comes to brains...
Miss Portland, please.
Moira, now just pull yourself together.
No, no, please. I'm finding this very interesting. This is a new side to my fiancé. It seems to me that I ought to get acquainted with it.
Oh, careful, Chris, careful. Those are mighty big words. Where's my drink?
Here. You'll finish up with a duodenal, baby. That's what you'll finish up with.
Why, Mr. Kelly, I didn't know you cared. Everybody... Oh, don't look so worried, Eileen. I can take it.
Boy, you certainly can take it.
What did you say I'd finish up with, Mr. Kelly?
A duodeno.
A gigolo and a duodenal. What a horrible thought.
Hubert, I think we'd better go into dinner.
Yes.
Just a moment. Moira, don't you think you owe me an apology?
An apology? What for?
You know perfectly well what for.
Oh, because I called you a gigolo? But you are a gigolo. And if you must know, darling, not a very nice gigolo. You're a stinking, rotten little gigolo.
Moira, please.
I think you'd better go to your room, Moira.
I'll do nothing of the sort. Why should I go to my room? I'm not a schoolgirl. I'm not going to anybody's room. I'm going to have another drink. Another little drink.
You're going to have nothing of the sort.
Leave go of my arm.
Moira, now don't be silly. Put that decanter down.
You heard what I said. Oh, let go of my arm.
Moira, please. Don't make an exhibition of yourself. Put the decanter down, dear.
Oh, don't you dear me. You're no friend of mine. Never have been. Haven't got any friends. Haven't got a friend in the world.
Boy, is she high.
Come along. I'll take you up to your room.
No, don't touch me. Don't put your hands on me. Do you hear what I say? Leave me alone. Leave me alone, Chris.
Moira, please.
Moira, what is it?
Whatever's the matter with the girl?
Oh, you know what's the matter. You know what's the matter with me, all right? One of you murdered Chunky. I only found that out tonight. He was the only friend I had. He understood me. There was no nonsense with Chunky. He was a real friend.
Come along, Moira. Let me take you to your room. Well, you said she was a temperamental young woman, but I certainly never thought she was that bad.
Oh, that's nothing. Sometimes she gets completely out of hand. I wonder what the devil we're going to do with the girl.
Who's this guy, Chunky, she was on about?
Chunky was a man called Archie Brooks. He was attached to Scotland Yard.
Was he murdered, or was she just making that up?
He was murdered.
When?
3 or 4 nights ago, outside the Manila. The night you telephoned my wife.
The night I telephoned your wife?
Yes.
You mean Mrs. Temple?
Well, I've only got one wife, Mr. Kelly.
But why should I phone Mrs. Temple?
I don't know why, but you did.
Well, I'm sorry to disillusion you, but I certainly didn't telephone your wife that night, or any other night if it comes to that.
What the blazes does it matter whether he phoned your wife or not? Didn't you hear what Moira said? She said that someone in this room, one of us, murdered Archie Brooks. Now, who was she getting at?
Don't look at me, brother. I'd never even heard of Brooks until that crazy dame of yours mentioned him.
Did you know Archie Brooks, Mr. Boyer?
Yes, I did. I knew him, liked him, and I didn't murder him.
Well, that seems conclusive enough. What about you, Hubert? Well,
I'd never heard of the fellow until Moira mentioned him.
How's Miss Portland?
She's all right now. I've given her 3 aspirins, and she's lying down. Shall we go into dinner, Hubert?
I think it might be a very good idea, Eileen. So here you are, George. I've been out looking for you. Don't you find it cold out here on the terrace?
No, it's not too cold for me.
Well, they want a 4th for bridge. How about it, old man?
Not for me, sir. I'm tired. Won't be long before I'm hitting the hay.
You're as bad as the Temples.
Have they gone to bed?
They went 1/4 hour ago.
Well, why don't you ask Boyer?
I doubt he knows one card from another.
Now don't kid yourself. I'll bet that boy's a wizard. He can certainly play the piano.
Sure you won't change your mind?
Quite sure.
Well, I suppose there's nothing for it. I'll have to ask Boye.
Hey, don't blame me if he skins you alive.
Excuse me.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mrs. Temple.
I'm looking for my handbag. I think I left it out here when we were having coffee.
Oh, is this it?
Oh, yes, that's it. Thank you.
I thought you'd gone to bed.
I came down for my bag.
Oh. Well, there it is.
Mr. Kelly?
Yes?
Why did you tell my husband that you didn't speak to me on the telephone?
Because I don't remember speaking to you.
You don't?
No.
You must have a very short memory.
Maybe.
Don't you remember what you said to me that night?
Well, if I don't remember speaking to you, I'm hardly likely to recall what I said.
You told me to tell my husband to keep out of the Madison case.
What's the Madison case?
Sam Portland had an appointment to see a private detective called Madison. Unfortunately, Portland died of heart failure and was unable to keep the appointment. I'm fairly sure that if he had kept it, he would have discovered that Madison was no more a private detective than you are. If you want my frank opinion...
Sure, let's have your frank opinion, Mrs. Temple.
I think Madison's a blackmailer and the leader of a racket for distributing counterfeit dollars.
You do?
Yes, I do.
You know, you've got some queer notions inside that head of yours. You're quite a gal.
I'm glad you think so.
I do think so. I do, indeed. Say, what else am I supposed to have told you over the telephone?
You said, tell your husband to keep out of the Madison case. If he doesn't, he's going to get mixed up with a bunch of very unpleasant customers.
Did I say that?
You did, Mr. Kelly. You also said that you were one of the unpleasant customers.
No.
Yes.
Why, that's a dreadful thing to say. It's almost a threat. You don't really think I'm an unpleasant customer, do you, Mrs. Temple?
I think you're a very slippery one, Mr. Kelly. Good night.
Ah. Did you find your bag?
Yes. It was on the terrace.
You've been rather a long time, Steve.
I've been talking to Kelly.
Oh, what did he have to say?
I mentioned that telephone call. He still claims that he never made it.
He made it, all right. But why did he make it? That's the point. Is Eileen downstairs?
Yes, she's playing bridge. Do you think she'll come tonight, Paul?
I don't know. What's that good old intuition of yours feel about it?
Well, she promised to come, didn't she? I hope she does, because I've got a feeling that Mrs. Green knows quite a lot about this affair.
Yes. You know, Steve, there's one rather interesting point about all this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether you've spotted it or not.
Yes, I've spotted it, I think. So far, we haven't heard from Mr. Madison.
So far.
Paul, are you awake?
Yes.
It's 3 o'clock.
Yes, I know.
It doesn't look as if she's coming, does it?
No.
Did you hear them come up to bed?
I heard Green. I don't know whether Eileen was with him or not.
What time was that?
Oh, it must have been about 12:30. Where's my lighter?
It's on the dressing table.
Oh. Like a cigarette, darling?
No, thanks.
I'm going to give her another 30 minutes. If she's not here by 3:30...
What is it?
I thought I heard something.
I can't hear anything.
No. No, I must have been mistaken.
Wait a minute.
What is it, Steve?
Shh. Listen. It'll be Eileen.
Yes.
Good. I thought she'd come.
It's all right, I'll answer it.
Why, Mr. Green.
Hello, Green. What is it?
I'm awfully sorry to disturb you, Temple, but...
Come in.
Thank you. Temple, have you seen my wife?
Your wife?
Yes.
No, I'm afraid we haven't.
Isn't she in her room?
No. I went along about 15 minutes ago. Eileen wasn't there and the bed hadn't been slept in.
Well, she's probably in the bathroom.
No, I've been to the bathroom.
Well, perhaps she's with Mrs. Portland?
No, she's not with Mrs. Portland or Moira. I've been all over the house and there just isn't a sign of her.
Have you asked the servants?
Yes, I've just come from the servants' quarters.
Well, what time did she come to bed?
She came to bed when I did, just after 12. You must have heard us, Temple. Your light was still on.
Yes, I did.
It's uncanny. I just don't understand it.
You say you've been all over the house?
Yes. I even woke up Kelly and Chris Boyer in the hope that one of them might have heard... Good Lord! What's that, Temple?
Something hit the door.
Paul, what is it?
Look! It's a knife. Someone must have thrown it at the door.
Do you see anybody?
No. No, there's no one in the corridor.
Paul, look. Stuck on the knife. There's a note.
So there is.
What does it say?
It says, go to the boathouse.
The boathouse?
Is that all it says?
Yes.
Is there a boathouse near here?
Why, yes, of course, down by the lake.
How long would it take us to get there?
About 10 minutes.
Go back to your room and get dressed. I'll meet you downstairs.
Temple, you don't...
Do as I say. I'll meet you downstairs in 3 minutes. Oh, and Green.
Yes?
If you've got a torch, bring it. Where's the boathouse?
It's over there. Look, you can see the outline of it through the bushes.
Is it a dilapidated sort of place?
No, it's pretty well kept. We use it as a storehouse.
Don't flash your torch, Green.
Why?
Because if there's anyone in the boathouse, I don't want them to see us.
Mind your head in that branch, Temple.
It's all right, I can manage.
You'll have to bend low, you'll get...
What is it? Green, what is it?
I thought I saw something.
Where? In the water?
Yes.
I don't see anything.
No. No, I must be mistaken.
What was it?
Oh, nothing. I must have been imagining things.
No, tell me, what was it?
Well, if you must know...
Yes?
I thought I saw a hand.
That was the fourth episode of the Francis Durbridge serial, Paul Temple and the Madison Mystery, with Crawford Logan as Paul Temple and Garda Stevenson as Steve. Others taking part were Emma Curry, Richard Greenwood, Robin Lang, Eliza Langland, Lucy Patterson, Gareth Thomas, and Nick Underwood. The production for the BBC was by Patrick Raynor.